we sang were are true from our hearts, that indeed all we have is Christ. We don't need anyone else, anything else. Father, that we do want to know you, that we want to be found in you, that we want to just be known as people who follow Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look into your word today, I pray that you would just guide us, that you would help us to understand, that you would help us to see how it relates to our life and to our church. So we ask for your direction through your Spirit this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is said that a picture is worth a thousand words. You probably have heard that statement, and so often we can see a picture or we can look at something and it just communicates so much that words we can't really put into words. And in the scriptures, in the New Testament, when God wanted us to understand what the church was all about, he used different portraits or pictures, metaphors, to help us to get an understanding of what really is the church, and what is the church supposed to be about, and what is the church's relationship to Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to be looking at one of those, as well as next week. But some of the different portraits that we see in the New Testament related to the church. The shepherd, Jesus is a good shepherd and we are the sheep. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Jesus is the cornerstone. The church is the building built on the cornerstone. Jesus is the bridegroom and we're the bride of Christ. One we'll be looking at next week is that Jesus is the high priest. We are all priests. And then the one we're going to look at today is that Jesus is the head of the church and that we as the church are the body of Christ. Try to talk about what that means. You have an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that. Have you ever said this? I would lose my head if it wasn't attached to my body. Or my head is telling my body what to do, but my body just isn't responding. Or how about, oh, I feel good. My body is fine, but I can't remember things too well today. My head just isn't cooperating. Sometimes we talk about, I wish I had my head on straight so that I could get things right. What would a body be without a head? We use that expression, you know, a chicken with its head cut off. And maybe some of you don't understand where that expression came from, but some of you who deal with chickens or maybe have had to, you know, prepare chickens for a meal, meaning having to kill them first, when you take a head off of a chicken, the chicken will still run around crazy with its head cut off. Sometimes that's what happens when you have a body without a head. You will run around and run around aimlessly, but eventually you will die. And where would a head be without a body? A head without a body would definitely be disadvantaged, be crippled, not able to do what the head wants it to do because the body just isn't there to respond. So today, this portrait that we're going to look at is that Christ is the head of the church, and that the church is his body. And this portrait points to the essential connection that has to exist between Christ and his body, the church. There has to be, the church has to be connected to its head, Jesus Christ, because if we're not, we're like a chicken running with its head off, aimlessly, not accomplishing what the head is wanting us to do. I have in your outline there just a couple definitions there that I think are important as we look at these portraits today, next week, and then maybe later on when I preach again. we'll pick up a couple more. What is the church? We have the universal church. Sometimes it's called the mystical church, because in the New Testament it says that the church was a mystery to the Old Testament, and now it's being made known. But the universal church encompasses all true believers who are permanently united by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into spiritual union with Christ and all other believers between the time of Pentecost and the rapture. Now that may sound very technical, but what we're trying to at least make sure you understand, the universal church refers to all believers. Understand there are some groups who do not believe that. They might say that the universal church is really only the church leaders, and that we are connected to the church through those church leaders. But we believe the Bible teaches that everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior during the church age, which is from Pentecost until Jesus comes again at the rapture, we are all part of the body of Christ, the universal church. And then we have local churches like North Valley Baptist Church. And we need to understand that we are the visible expression of the universal church. In other words, here what we do as a local church, North Valley Baptist, we are giving expression to the greater body of Christ, all believers. And so it's through local churches that the portraits of Christ and his church should be fleshed out. So as we understand this portrait today about Christ being the head and the church being the body, we want to flesh that out here at North Valley Baptist Church. So Christ is the head, the church is his body. We're going to be talking about the essential connection that there needs to be between the head and the body. As we start, I want to tell you a story about John Huss. John Huss was a Bohemian. That would be northeast Croatia if you were looking at your map today. He actually was John Husinek, because he was from the area of Husinek, and they would, you know, name themselves after their territory. And he shortened his name to Huss. The word Huss meant goose. And so John Huss went, that nickname stuck to him. He was known as the goose. Okay? He's considered a pre-Reformation reformer. In other words, the Reformation, you think of Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, and so on. Well, we're talking 100 years before that. So we have a pre-Reformation reformer. And on July 6th, 1415, John Huss was burned at the stake by the church leaders of that time because of his religious beliefs. And as Huss burned at the stake, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, it is for you that I patiently endure this cruel death. Have mercy on my enemies." Meaning the church officials at that time that were burning him. The church leaders of that time were so concerned that there be nothing left of John Huss that they scooped up his ashes after he was burned at the stake and took him out to the water, the sea, and dumped them there. They didn't want there to be any remnant of him, though his Bohemian family did gather up some dirt and took it and then started a monument back in Bohemia, Croatia, for that. So John Huss, the goose, was burned at the stake. And yes, that is where we get that expression, the goose was cooked, or he cooked his own goose. I never knew that until I was thinking about that this week. But 100 years later, Martin Luther is doing some research, and he came across the sermons of John Huss. And he was really taken by them. And he said, he quotes it, this is a quote, "I could not understand for what cause they had hurt so great a man who explained the scriptures with so much gravity and skill." Luther was like, why did they kill this guy? And the reason, as Luther continued to explore, the reason they executed him was because of what we're going to talk about today. Because John Huss preached that Jesus Christ was the head of the the church. And for that, he was burned at the stake. The truth of the headship of Christ, as we talk about today, some of you are going to say, yeah, that's what I believe. That's so true. The scripture says it. But we have to, as John MacArthur has said, we have to realize that this truth has sailed to us on a sea of blood. There are others who have given their lives for this truth, so that today it's sort of commonplace in the evangelical church, but it wasn't always that way in the church. So we come back to the preeminence of the head. That Christ is the head, and that means that he is the preeminent one. That he is the superior one. That he surpasses all. And let's look at the scripture text that I have there. And we're bouncing around a little bit between the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians. These are two key books written by the Apostle Paul where he addresses the whole, our understanding of what the church is all about. And that Christ is the head, the church is the body. So from Colossians 1, 15 to 18, we read, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Then notice what it says. "He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy," the preeminence. We go to Colossians 2, 18 and 19. "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body," so it's from the head, from Jesus Christ, "the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." And then one other passage, and I'm wanting you to get the context for this Ephesians 1 passage, so I'm starting at verse 18, where Paul is giving a prayer. And he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his," remember this is Jesus Christ, "God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The preeminence of the head. And what we mean by this is that no denomination or individual can ever claim to be the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And when we talk about who is the head of the church, that title is reserved for Jesus Christ. It's not reserved for anybody else. And you ask that question, well, what happens when a body part decides that it wants to control things and usurp the preeminence? What happens when someone in the church says, "No, Jesus isn't the head, I'm the head. Follow me." Well, you have disaster. You might have man-made success for a time, but ultimately, if Christ is not in his proper place in a church, as the head of the church, it will be a remedy or a recipe for disaster. And it will not last. The body does not give orders to the head. It may give pain sometimes, I'm sure, but it does not give orders to the head. It is supposed to be under the control of the head. And I think it's important to understand this. Who made Christ the head of the church? And if you go back to that Ephesians 1 passage that we looked at, we understand it was God, right, who made Jesus the head of the church. Jesus did not just self-appoint him to be, you know, to be the head. This was something that we see. God the Father made Jesus Christ the head of the church. And if we don't like that, we obviously can take that up with God. But this is God's, you know, how God has designed the church. And so then we ask, well, what are the implications of Christ being the head? And obviously the first one is, well, he's in control, so we should look to him for direction. And how do we look to him for direction? I mean, and I think the way we look to Jesus for direction is through the Bible, through the scriptures. What has been said? What has Christ said about the church? What's been said that we should follow? And obviously through prayer, and that God would direct our hearts and our minds as we read his word and as we ask him for wisdom and for direction. But he is in control. Did you notice the other thing in both Colossians, the Colossians passage that we read, and then the Ephesians passage, how it talked about Jesus is not just the head of the church, is he? But he's the head of all creation. It's through Christ that the creation was made and that it is sustained. And so what I want us to do is think about the head that we have. Okay, when we think about Jesus being the head of the church, do we realize the type of head that we have? He is not powerless. He has all ability. He is not without insight. He has all wisdom. He is not without influence. Obviously, he can change anything. And he does not have the limitations that any of us would have, because we are human and we are limited. And so we have, given to us from God the Father, we have the head of the church who is all-powerful, who has all wisdom, who definitely can lead us as we need to be led. So he is in control of all creation. That has great implications for us. I think we should see also, if Christ is to be preeminent, then the ministry at North Valley is to be all about Christ and not about us. And we, North Valley, has existed to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to extol him over these years. And that's what we want to continue to do, because Christ is our head. And so therefore, you know, we sing, "All I have is Christ." We sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." And we preach Christ, because it is all about him. I think it's also important to realize that because Christ is the head, we are never without a leader. Okay, even when we go through pastoral changes, we are never without a leader. Now, God gives us, and we've talked about this the last couple weeks, God gives us, you know, under-shepherds, pastors to help lead the flock, because we are sheep and we need shepherds. But we always have the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to lead us. We are never without a leader. And I think it's important then, as we look for our next pastor, that we want a pastor who will help us to follow Jesus. We don't want a pastor who's going to come in and say, "Hey, I've got all the ideas, you know, all the solutions, just follow me, everything's going to be great." No, we want a guy who says, "As a church, we need to follow Christ, and I will help shepherd you to help us together to follow Christ and to trust him to work through us so that we can be a light to this community." But we have to remember that Christ is the head of the church. Now, you may say, you know, is that really, I mean, do we really have an issue with that? Well, if you study churches around, yes, there are churches who have lost that focus. And Christ is no longer really, it's not Christ that they're looking to. They're looking to leaders, they're looking to ideas and philosophies and so on. And they're really not trying to get their direction from Christ. They're not spending time in prayer and in his word to really see what is it that Jesus wants us to do. And that's why I have that statement, to be careful about losing focus. You remember from the passage in Colossians 2, Paul warned the Colossian church, the church at Colossae. He said, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. There was a brand of religion called Gnosticism at that point in time, and the church was being influenced by these false teachers and by this false teaching. And Paul is warning them, don't get off focus. The focus is on Christ, as it says. It says they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. There are many out there who are trying to defraud us. By the word defraud, I mean rob or cheat us of what we are supposed to have in Christ. In the book of Colossians, if you were to study it, you know, Colossians is all about the fact that we are complete in Christ. We have everything that we need in Christ. All I have is Christ. We don't need something else, and we don't need some other philosophy to follow. And there are many who are going to try to defraud us, to cheat us, to rob us of the full joy and life that we are supposed to have in Christ. We do not want to strip the Lord Jesus Christ of his church. This is his church. And we don't want to go off by following some other philosophy or some other wisdom of man. But we want to maintain that Christ is preeminent. He is the head of this church. And we don't want to take that away from him. So we realize the preeminence of the head. And then secondly, we realize the vitality of the body because it is connected to the head. Not like a chicken with its head cut off, running around aimlessly only to die. But instead, a church that has vitality, that has life because of its connection to Christ. And the first thing I think we need to realize is the church, we get our life from Jesus Christ. Again, jumping into a context, but the book of Ephesians is all about the church and the body of Christ. And as it's drawing a parallel between marriage and Jesus Christ and the church, it says this, the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he, Jesus Christ, is the Savior. Where do we get our life as believers in Jesus Christ? From Jesus Christ. Our life comes from Christ. And then Colossians 1:18, when we looked at this, it says, he's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. It talks about how he's the firstborn from among the dead. Jesus Christ, he was raised from the dead. When it says he's the firstborn from the dead, what does that guarantee? It guarantees that there are other borns. It's that there's more to come. And so because Christ has been raised from the dead, then we also can say that we are alive. If Christ is alive, then so are we. We are a living organism. We should never be characterized as a dead church. Sometimes, maybe in conversations, you'll hear someone say, oh, that church is dead. That's just like, that just should not be. Because the church is alive through Christ, because Christ is alive. And therefore, we should always be characterized as a living church, as a living organism. May it never be said of North Valley that we are a dead church. That would be a terrible thing. So the church gets its life from Christ, and then the church is nourished through Christ. Obviously, what happens to a human body that does not receive nourishment? Starves to death, right? It's not going to make it. That's why some of you want to get home at a decent time today to get your nourishment. You'll starve to death, right? Okay. Well, how does Christ intend for that nourishment to be distributed? Notice how it says they have lost, we read this verse, but another part of this verse now, they've lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. How is it that we grow as a church? How are we nourished by the church? By being connected to the head, by being connected to Jesus Christ. And how does Christ intend for that to happen? Well, again, through the scripture. We are nourished. As again, North Valley has been known as preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. We receive our nourishment through Christ from the Word of God. And then there's another way that we receive our nourishment, and that is through the cooperation of the body. Think about that. How does a human body receive nourishment? I mean, you put your food in your mouth, right? But then a whole lot else has to happen in order for that to actually nourish your body. There has to be a cooperation that happens with your body. And if a body part is not working right, then that nourishment is not going to go where it's supposed to go. So we just see how in the human body that's set up. And in the church body, there again has to be that type of cooperation. Because if there's not, there's going to be a breakdown. So we have in Ephesians 4:16, when in a passage where Paul is talking about God giving pastors and teachers and others to the church. And this part of the reason. It says, from him, Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as, get that last part, as each part does its work. So in other words, in order for us to grow and to be built up in Christ, there has to be the cooperation of the body, the church. Each part does its work. So this implies that each of us use our spiritual gifts and our abilities in the local church. Because, you know, you may be the esophagus, and the food has to get through the esophagus to get to the other parts. And if you're not doing your part as the esophagus, we could have problems. And we need to understand that each of us has to use our spiritual gift and our ability so that we benefit each other, so that the church can be nourished in Christ. This means that an isolated Christian cannot minister to others or be ministered to. If people are not availing themselves to our church, or, you know, this holds true for other, you know, other churches and so on, if someone is not being a part of a local church, then they cannot be ministered to, and they cannot minister to others as they are meant to do, because they have been gifted by God and given abilities to be part of the church. So we need to stay connected to Christ and connected to each other if we are going to be, you know, healthy in the body of Christ. I trust you can catch on to that, because that's, to me, a really critical thing, that we have to be connected to Christ. He's the head. He's the one from which we get the nourishment, And then as we get that nourishment, we pass it on to the rest of the body of Christ as we do our part in the ministry. So the church gets its life from Christ, the church is nourished through Christ, and then the church stays united through Christ. It says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In the Ephesians, that's from Colossians, and then 1:17. And then Ephesians 4:16, remember we read how the body is joined and held together through Christ. You think about it. The one who holds the universe together, can He hold us together? Certainly He can. He has that ability. The one who God has given, authority over the universe, He has made head of our church, and Jesus Christ, it's through Christ that we stay united. This statement here, I think, is important for us to understand because, we all talk, churches all talk about wanting to be unified. We want to have a unified body. Well, how do you get that? You can't really manufacture unity. What you have to do is we all have to have our focus in the same place. We all have to be understanding what our part is in contributing to the health of our church, to the nourishment of our church. So this statement, unity is not something we manufacture. It's the natural outgrowth of a church focused on Christ and on nourishing each other through the nourishment Christ has given each member. So we focus on Christ. He is the preeminent one. He is the one who is the head. He's the one who we give attention to. And then we realize that He's nourished me. I've been nourished through the Word of God. He's gifted me. And now I'm going to pass that nourishment on to others as they pass their nourishment that they've received on to me. And we all cooperate together. But it's not something we, can just sort of manufacture. It's something that happens sort of naturally as we all do our part. And it's amazing. If the church is really focused on Christ and focused on ministry and doing their part, there's amazing unity that continues to be demonstrated. And then one last thing here, Christ's intent for the church. He wants us to be a healthy body spiritually. He wants us to be a healthy body, vibrant and growing. And if we, again, remember the passage from Colossians, it says Paul's talking about the ones who are leading others astray, and he doesn't want us to fall trap to that. He says they have lost connection with the head, and notice what it says, from whom the head, the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows. So God wants a healthy body, a body that is going to grow as God causes it to grow. So it's not manipulated growth. It's growth that comes from God as the church does what it's supposed to do under the headship of Jesus Christ. Same thing in Ephesians 4:16. It's from Him, the Jesus Christ, who's joined and held together. We're joined and held together. And notice how it says, it grows and builds itself up in love. So Christ's intent for our church, North Valley Baptist Church, is that we will be a healthy church. Not a dead church, a healthy church. A church that will grow. A church that will be vibrant, has life. And of course, how does that growth take place? Again, through the Word of God being taught and preached as it has been over these years, through God's people serving and ministering to each other and then serving the community so that we can see others come to Christ. But God wants us to be a healthy church. So, as we bring this to a conclusion today, first of all, I ask, how is the connection between your head and your body? Between Christ and your personal life. Are you willing to say to the Lord today, Lord, I will follow you and seek to bring you attention? Is that what your life is about? Is your life about obedience to Christ, following the Lord, and then bringing him attention? Are you quick to give a testimony about the Lord to other people and to give glory to him, to tell people about what he has done? And then vitality. Lord, my life comes from you. I need nourishment from you so I can help nourish others. Don't miss that, okay? I need nourishment from you. Why? God has not made us just to nourish ourselves and take it all in. He's made us to nourish ourselves so that then we can be nourishing other people. And I just would ask us today, this last week, have you nourished yourself? I mean, you're here today. That's great. That's part of it. But continuing through the week, will you read God's word? Will you do things that will help nourish your soul in the Lord? And then, how have you nourished others this last week? Have you taken what God has given to you and passed that on in some way to be part of the health of the body of Christ? That's what we need to be willing to commit to do if we understand that Christ is the head and we're the body. We need to have that vitality. And then, sort of in a similar way, how's the connection between Jesus Christ and North Valley Baptist Church? Are we alive? You all can wave your hands. You're alive in that sense, right? But are we known to be a living church, a church that has life because Christ is at our head? Are we being nourished? I hope you are. I hope today has been a nourishment to you. And how are you helping with that nourishment, doing your part in the ministry here at North Valley to help nourish others? Are we united? I sure hope so. Seems like, you know, God has given us special grace in keeping us together as a body, and that is so important. And part of that is because of the focus that we really try to have to exalt Christ, to honor him. That's what our church has been all about. Are we healthy? I'm not talking about your personal aches and pains now, okay? As a church, are we a healthy church? And I would hope that there is a semblance of health, but we would all say, you know, if we just rest in where we are now, it's going to go downhill. We need to continue to do the things that we know God wants us to do so we can maintain our health. And then this next one, because of where we are at as a church, are we praying for Christ's headship to be evident as we seek for our next pastor? And if you think about that, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Are we praying for Christ's headship to be evident as we seek for our next pastor? Well, the last couple weeks, the messages we have had about the qualifications of a pastor and then about what pastors are to do and the charge that Paul gave to the pastors in Acts chapter 20. You know, how do we maintain the headship of Christ as we seek for the next pastor? Well, one is we pray to our head, Jesus Christ, and ask our head to direct us to the one that he has chosen to be our next pastor. And that's so important. So that's why I have no problem calling us as a church to pray for this next pastor, because if Christ is going to be our head, we have to ask our head who that next pastor is supposed to be. So I just ask you to be involved as much as you can. Like this Wednesday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting here since we're in a break from our small groups. So if you are able to be here at 6:30 Wednesday night, come so we can pray together. We'll have some other times to pray as well because not everyone can be here on Wednesday night. We understand that. When our small groups start back up in a couple weeks, we will be praying together about who God has to be our next pastor. But we want, you know, we want who God wants, not who any one of us individually want. It's who God wants. We want Christ to be the head of our church. So pray that God will help us to stay connected to our head. And I trust though we didn't get to, you haven't gotten to know him at all, just through a little story, but I hope we do trust or do thank God for men like John Huss, who was willing to take on the church leaders of that day and stand up for what Scripture said, even though it meant his life. But his legacy lives on, and the truth of the church being under the preeminence of Christ lives on as well, and we can be thankful for that. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. Because, Lord, we realize that if any of us really were trying to do that, it would lead to disaster. We are not God. We do not have all wisdom and all power. Jesus does. So, Father, I pray that we would be individuals and then a church that will follow the headship of Christ, that we will be connected to our Savior Jesus Christ and honor him and give him the preeminence. And then, Lord, that we will find our vitality and our life in Christ. And Lord, that we would realize the importance, each one of us, of passing on the nourishment that you give to us, that we would pass that on to others so that they also can be nourished. And Lord, we thank you how that works in the church, where we can nourish each other with what you give to us, and we can use our gifts for you and for on behalf of each other. May North Valley in these days be known as a church that has life in Christ, that has vitality, that we're growing in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name.